from Great Prajna Paramita Heart Sutra. There is nothing to attain. Far beyond delusive thinking, right here is nirvana. So good evening, everyone. It's nice to be sitting together, practicing together. Good evening, crickets. The Buddha's teaching includes the notion of anatman, or non-self. And also the 12 links of causation, which I've talked about at other times. But these are the origins of the teaching of dependent origination, which is a different way of thinking about existence. So rather than things having innate, intrinsic essences or identities that somehow reside within an object and yet are somehow also unfindable, like souls, we might say. Reminding us maybe of like Plato and his idea of world of ideas. So rather than that, the Buddha suggested that things actually do not have essences, innate fixed essences. Things are without permanent selfhood. And when we first come across this teaching, it might feel a bit threatening and scary. Language is so confusing for us. The moment we speak or think a word, we are dividing in our mind that particular noun or object from everything else. And in this division, we habitually come to imagine that each noun has its own intrinsic identity. We might think about the zabaton or chair on which you are sitting or kneeling. We might look at it and think of it as a thing with its own separate identity. And in what we describe as relative terms, that's very true. One zabuton is not identical with another. So we can think of them as separate. And that's fine. It just happens to be a little bit superficial. It's not the end of the story, but it's often where the mind likes to rest. That's it, separate identity, end of story. And the place that this causes us suffering is when we imagine that this is true, particularly for ourselves. That I am a separate fixed identity, that once I can manage to perfect this being that is me, or attain some kind of circumstance that is perfect, I can rest in my iron throne forever. Anyone who has ever attained a goal knows that once attained, things keep changing. That doesn't mean we shouldn't have goals, but maybe we shouldn't imagine that once we attain them, we're going to, quote, live happily ever after, like the fairy tale suggests. We will continue to evolve. We will continue to get older. Thus our five remembrances. The most fundamental rudimentary teaching of Buddhism is that everything changes. But when we project these essences into objects, we imagine that they are permanent. We imagine that we are permanent, that particular states are permanent, that if I attain nirvana, I'll just get to rest on this other shore. And that'll be the end. But actually, the only thing that separates us from nirvana is the notion that we're not it. That this isn't it. That's it. We just say, well, this can't be it. I'm not happy enough. And we make something that's quite beyond our own condition, dependent on our own condition, which is always changing. Nirvana isn't the addition of some separate attainment. It's the realization that we can't hold on to anything. That we can't actually attain anything. There's nothing to attain. Everything is empty. Emptiness is exactly form. Form is empty of intrinsic essence, permanence. And the more that we see this and realize this, the less we cling and desire particular mind states, because we know they're all empty, born out of causes and conditions and fleeting. This is why sometimes the humorists among Dharma teachers describe our practice as the path of disappointment. This is it? Buddha had to use language to teach, but the moment he uttered a word, this was divided from that. Samsara from nirvana, me from you, enlightenment from delusion. Really, the place we find enlightenment, as Dogen tells us, is in our delusions. One way we can do this is to look deeply into the nature of the self. So, I believe I am something who can attain something permanent that I can hold on to. There's a lot to look into there. Take a little time with that first part, I. What am I? Undoubtedly, a thousand simple answers jump to mind. I'm a teacher, I'm a student, I'm a person, I'm male, female, non-binary. It could be any number of possibilities that jump into mind. These are all what we call relative truths. It's not untrue that I'm a teacher, for example. but it's also in some way dependent on circumstances, on labels, on opposites. These relative truths, these senses of self, they aren't unimportant. They matter. We can have more and less healthy senses of self. So this isn't to dismiss the sense of self as a problem. Please don't hear it that way. But we're invited to look even more deeply into what we are. And the teaching goes that we are dependent arisings. We might say we are nothing but relation. We aren't separate from the air we breathe. Even the words we use, we didn't create. They're born out of culture and they're profoundly conditioning. We aren't as separate as we imagine. And everything keeps shape-shifting and changing. Sometimes, of course, we've all identified with moods or feelings. I'm sad, I'm hateful today, I'm angry, I'm so happy. And in some way, in each of those states, we can imagine that the mind state is permanent. Sitting gives us the opportunity to pay attention and notice that everything is shape-shifting. That wouldn't be possible if things had fixed essences, including these senses of self that arise and come and pass through and vanish, and then arise again. And we can spend a lot of time defending these senses of self. When time erases them all, so we struggle a lot in life. If we imagine that enlightenment or nirvana is just another fixed sense of self that we'll be able to attain, well, we're just deluding ourselves yet again. We're just playing into the same old habit pattern. So our task is to just sit and look and pay attention. Notice what is now. That's the whole deal. Kind of reorients us toward this fleeting moment of this that has no fixed essence and yet miraculously continues to appear before us as us. So maybe these lines make a tiny bit more sense. This idea that there's nothing to attain. Far beyond all this delusive thinking of this, that, of me, you, self, other. Right here is nirvana. There's nowhere else we need to go. There's nothing else we need to attain. We imagine that as we sit, maybe we're getting something. Well, basically what we're getting is older. We're We're not getting anything. We don't get to keep anything. But we do get to appreciate life just as it is, right here, right now. When else can we really live? Thank you.